NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. Let's bring in the Leisure Men. Paul Pabst and Andrew Perloff. The show starts right now.
We are the Leisure Men on NBC Sports Radio. Paul Pabst, Andrew Perloff, setting you up for a three-hour tour on a Sunday night here at NBCSN in Stamford, Connecticut. Football Night in America coming up on NBC Sports. Perloff, it takes a lot to knock NFL out of the box on an NFL Sunday. On a game, week three, a bunch of upsets, a lot of stuff going on. But right now, the biggest story on Earth.
Oh, I don't know.
On Earth.
No way.
Not America. Remember,
I don't even think this is a top three story Monday morning. Do you really think?
Well,
Monday morning, you honestly think this? Go ahead.
For those who don't know, Tiger Woods has just won the PGA Tour Championship. They call it, one of the final events of the year. It is not a major.
You can't even say what the tournament is.
It's because it's very complex. They have a lot of the PGA Championship, the Tour Championship. He won his first golf event since 2013.
Dude, but in 2013, he won like seven, and he didn't win his major, so who cares?
It's an unbelievable dry
spell.
Sorry,
am I being a total...
You're throwing water all over it.
I'd be a total buzzkill, but give me a major.
We still need it, but this sets up a great 2019, by the way.
Oh.
If I'm golf, I actually don't. I'm going to save my humid take here in Tiger Woods. But for those who didn't hear the news, Tiger Woods just put one in from about 3 inches out. Unbelievable. Going up 18, you know, he could still lose this thing. He needed to, like, double bogey to force a playoff. He's at the East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia. Beautiful setting, shocker. And as he's coming up 18, though, it looked like a movie about golf. There are probably about 10,000 people walking 50 yards behind him, and they're chanting "Tiger!" like it's a college football game. And he goes up and he doesn't hit the birdie, but then he hits the little tap in, and the place goes crazy. And he does a quick interview with the Golf Channel, Steve Sands. He could barely get out answers. You saw him; he was choked up, fully choked up.
Yeah, I think he was crying. He actually mentioned he was crying coming up the. Did he say? He said, "I couldn't help but cry." I don't know what his words were, but he was clearly very emotional.
Yeah, because he's got a win in his grasp, but he still had to hit an approach shot. He could have easily put it somewhere in OB, and would have been a choke job.
Okay, now put this into perspective, though. If say he wins this, say he wins one or two or three more small tournaments without a major, is this comeback complete?
I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm not ready to chop it up yet and be a sports radio cynic. I'm going to get there in a little bit. I'm going to kind of soak this one in. It's weird. We talked about this before. The reason I was rooting for Tiger to win this and looking forward to it, because it's like this unbelievable journey you've been on with this guy since he was 19 years old. And the journey stopped around his 32nd birthday. Like, he was the greatest player on a path to be the greatest golfer of all time, one of the great athletes of all time. And then just stopped in 2013. Made a little before that, actually.
Yeah. I mean, then again, I feel like you're acting like he... All right, am I being like this is like the comeback? Is this the comeback? Put it in perspective to me. Like, how much does this mean? And also, with what you saw with him in the majors.
There are stories about him that he talked to Nick Faldo and said, this is it, I'm done, a couple years ago, 2015. Yeah. He thought he was done with the sport because of his back injuries, his knee, other injuries, even shoulder injuries. Yeah. And the back was the killer.
And also, what he did at the majors this year, I think that's part of this story, too. He was challenging, for real.
He was competitive in all four majors this year, and he just didn't get it done. It was some really close challenges.
Yes, really close.
But he went into Sunday with a 3-stroke lead and didn't give it up and played good golf here. It just feels like, I hate saying that phrase, Tiger's back, but he is a completely competitive golfer. He's a top 10 golfer in the world again.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
No doubt, and... Will he be? I assume he'll be the favorite going in next year because he was the favorite even when he did win one match. Because Vegas, like, he's a public figure. By the way, you did mention the ratings. I think the ratings are going to be higher for next year's Masters than they were when he was at his peak, because the comeback is almost a better story than when he was doing well all along.
Because if you're sitting out there and you're watching this and you're a 15-year-old, you have no recollection of Tiger Woods, not real recollection of him being a great player.
Right.
So it's fascinating. We're going to talk about this all night. A lot to talk to you, Tiger. I got a couple different angles that I want to hit with you. But let's get right now, Perloff, to the late games, the 4 o'clock games. We'll hit the 1 o'clock games in a little bit. Where are we right now? There's a couple shootouts going on.
Yeah, so the Rams and the Chargers are just flying up and down the field. Rams 28-20, only 7:31 left in the third. Possible Super Bowl preview, Paul. I'm going to put that.
Ooh. I mean,
the Rams, if they keep this up, are going to be a heavy Super Bowl. I think they just replaced the Patriots as the Super Bowl favorite in Vegas. They got everything, but Marcus Peters got hurt, which is huge. Chargers are not far behind. Paulie, I know, like, you and I, we liked the Chargers a lot last year, but said they didn't know how to win. They are so potent on offense. Phillip Rivers could put the ball anywhere he wants.
He does feel like he's still at his peak.
These teams are right there as a Super Bowl preview. All right, other games. So Sam Bradford, taking his cue from the Bills, all of a sudden showed up to play against the Bears.
Unbelievable.
And Mitchell Trubisky, by the way, he's got a lot of room to go. But we're not even going to get that. Seattle's up 17-3. Russell Wilson finds Lockett for a long touchdown. The Cowboys are like one of the most boring teams in the NFL. Every time we're talking about them. And then tonight we got, by the way, can we talk about Patriots Lions coming up at 8 o'clock? That's a saucy game tonight.
Very saucy, because I think a lot of people with the storylines of the former defensive coordinator Matt Patricia with the Lions.
Yes.
I think people want to see the Lions win tonight.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what the Patriots are going to do with Josh Gordon, by the way, but that's the other factor. If Josh Gordon's on the Patriots, I want to see him go deep on every play, and I want to see him throw. That's like the most exciting thing about the Patriots in years.
I hung around with a lot of Patriots fans this weekend up in Vermont, and Josh Gordon was a question, and I'll tell you what I told them a little later. But it's weird. There's only three games going on right now.
Yeah, they went heavy on the early slate this week. I noticed that. So, and there were a lot of like big games early.
I'm going to save this, but I've got a take, and I may save it for the midweek podcast. I've been simmering on this one. I turned on the TV today, and we live outside New York City. There was one nationally televised football game on at 1 o'clock Eastern. You can only find one nationally televised game if you don't have DirecTV and all your packages and stuff.
Which one? I hope Atlanta, New Orleans.
No, Giants.
Oh, are you sure that wasn't local? I think that was local.
Well, there's one on my TV. I could get one football game.
Wow.
At 1 o'clock Eastern. I live in the biggest sports market in the entire earth.
So I think is that because they black out when you're opposite the Giants?
I don't know.
I'm almost sure that's.
But all I know is I had one game available to me on a normal TV. And you pay a lot for cable TV or DirecTV.
Yeah, that's a blackout rule.
You know what? I'm going to save this, but the NFL has to change their ways completely with broadcast television if they want to expand. And I think I got a way that they could make four times the television revenue in 5 years from now.
But they make so much from DirecTV.
Right. They could keep that, but I got some more to you. All right. Chargers, Rams. I was watching Jared Goff today. You know, Jared Goff is not spectacular. He doesn't do anything where you're like, man, that guy's got a cannon, or man, he could really move. But he seems like he's done making mistakes.
I know. His numbers are crazy. Give me a player cop. Like, who's he remind you of? An amped up Alex Smith, Drew Brees. Like
an amped up Alex Smith is not bad.
Yeah, I mean,
a more threatening Alex Smith.
Similar, yeah. Be Sean McVay. I think, no, he didn't have Alex Smith, but he might as well had Alex Smith, like that kind of offense.
When you watch him, you're not going, man, that guy has the biggest arm, or he's got great feet, or whatever. He's really cutting down. Again, he has a lot of talent around him, but he's really whittling down to almost, as I say that, he throws a pick, by the way.
By the way, 24 for 30, 301. That's what you're talking about. Like, but isn't he perfect for that team? And the only problem is, like, if you got Marcus Peters, that defense is so star-studded. Don't you feel like they are the team? Like, the Vikings obviously got exposed today.
They should be.
So the Packers are exposed. Is there another? The Eagles had to battle to beat the Colts. So I think the Rams are like your strong favorite.
But this is a classic L.A. Chargers where they win this by one, or they take the lead and lose it at the end.
That's what's going to happen.
That's much more Chargers-ish. Yeah. Well, you and I have been in this room a lot in the past 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
We've ridden with the Chargers.
Yeah, no. So we always know the Chargers are very talented. But again, in this game, too, they're very talented but find a way to lose it. Oh, man, these late games actually are very important in the sense that ready. Chicago's could go 1-2.
Well, that's... Sam Bradford is playing. I think a lot of people don't even realize Sam Bradford is still the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. Somehow he got $20 million out of them. He's playing pretty well, throwing the ball for 7 yards an attempt. And Josh Rosen can't get in the game. And Sam Bradford smoking the Bears is going to keep Josh Rosen, the rookie out of UCLA, on the bench for another week.
Well, there's still some time to go. I just like, because I'm friends with you, and I spent some time this weekend with Big Cat, the most famous Bears fan. Like, you Bears fans have this inborn pessimism. It's unbelievable about the quarterback spot and about wide receiver, not about the whole team.
We could take any quarterback and make him average.
Yes, and you've said that to me from day one, and you have no expectations for your passing game ever.
Well, to me, I'm really nervous about the Mitch Trubisky era, because I think he's going to be a good quarterback, a solid quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has any greatness around him at all. He moves pretty well with the ball, but I don't think he's a good dropback passer. To me, he could be like the next coming of Ryan Tannehill, but I don't want to insult Ryan Tannehill. I may aspire for that. So I had the feeling, here's my prediction. You could take this to the bank. I think the Bears are going to stick with Mitch Trubisky for about 5 years. And we're going to have a lot of 7-9-ish seasons, 6-10-ish seasons. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the Trubisky era will be over later than it should be.
God, it sounds like Bears football.
That said, about 10, 12 years ago, they had this unbelievable defense with Urlacher, Peanut Tillman, Alex Brown, and those guys. And they got Rex Grossman to a Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
Do you know Rex Grossman appeared in the Super Bowl as a starting quarterback?
I know.
That's a fact, and I still am not sure it happened.
I just had a long talk about that team. That is the goal for every Bears fan, to have a team where Mike Brown scores three defensive touchdowns to win you games. That is what Bears fans hope and expect. By the way, I know we have a lot of show left. I'm dying to hear some of your takes on college football, because that was a pretty exciting Saturday. Some wild stuff happened.
We're going to chop it up at Oregon, man.
Oregon. How come Army Oklahoma wasn't on TV?
Okay, so I have a story about that. Army versus Oklahoma. Army's getting 31.5. I guess Oklahoma has one game a year against a non-power team.
Okay,
you know, like a UTEP.
But they're still like Division One, like FBS.
Army's not college football players. They're cadets who happen to play college football. And I love Army. I go to see them every year. I love them. But they do one game a year that's pay-per-view, and they bank on. The Oklahoma fans paying for this one game. I think you had to pay $59 for this game.
Yeah. So was there some back-end way to get it on Periscope or something?
I watched, between you, me, and the wall, I watched the last 15 minutes on Periscope.
So, and by the way, unbelievable game.
What did I say to you?
You did, but by the way, you're always the service academy's covering the first half. But Navy was a 10-point favorite, and they lost SMU.
Yeah, but I only do service academies against big teams covering the first half spread
against bat. But Navy blew like an impactful game, because they're the real team, right? They're usually pretty good.
Navy's usually a little better than Army.
Yeah, they blew it. But anyway,
let's chop it up. Navy and Army first segment.
But Oregon Stanford, I definitely want to hear you explain that one. It's just like, there's almost too much. I don't know how we're going to do all this.
I don't know how we're going to do it. We'll give you a quick update. Seattle 17, Cowboys 3. If this holds, this is where the Cowboys thought, you know, we can get a win here. Russell Wilson's being running for his life.
Yeah.
They don't really have much of an offense. Our defensive line in Dallas is playing pretty damn well. This is a game we could pick up.
Yeah, but
it's not over.
It's in Seattle. So that's a huge deal. It is loud in there. Seattle stinks this year, but in Seattle, they're tough.
Dak Prescott has 40 yards middle of the third quarter.
I was driving up, by the way. Have another – a Leisureman point of contention is Leighton Vander Esch, the former Boise State linebacker, who Paulie thinks that the Cowboys should not have taken. They should have taken Calvin Ridley, who went off today for 3 touchdowns. But I heard Leighton Vander Esch, he played 7-man football growing up through high school.
That's the wrong sport.
He should be your kind of guy, dude. He is the ultimate underdog to be a first-round pick. And by the way, they need him, because everybody else is already injured in the linebacking core.
And again, I'm going to pat myself on the back again. If Calvin Ridley somehow wins Rookie of the Year, Josh, our producer, you better find the tape, because I said that's my sneaky pick for Rookie of the Year. I did, in August.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's not going to assuage Falcons fans. They just blew the whole season this year.
All right, stick around. We're going to get into the 1 o'clock games. We've got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about Tiger, college football, Leisureman approved, not approved. It's all coming up. Stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
We are the Leisureman. I'm Andrew Perloff. He is Paul Papps. Big NFL Sunday, pivotal week 3. We'll dive into all the games. But first, Tiger Woods is champion again. Paulie, break it down.
Not a major, but he won the Tour Championship, one of the last events of the PGA Tour season. He almost won the FedEx Cup, which, he could have used that cash. He would have got $10 million on that. But I do feel, in a weird way, a little bad for how Tiger got his win. All summer, we've been watching him play in the PGA, the U.S. Open, and different events. And usually in the summer months, there's nothing against him. He was up against an NFL Sunday today. And believe me, I love golf and want to watch Tiger Woods today. But it was tough to keep the TV screen on Tiger's effort today when there's 9 early games going on.
10.
So the only thing I feel bad for is that Tiger had to share the stage today.
Oh, give me a
break.
That's
the worst
thing. Feel bad for Tiger Woods? Yeah, I'm playing the cynic. I'm like, win me a major and then we will talk. But it's still pretty incredible. Let's talk about some of the early games.
Okay, right off the bat. If you were on a plane today, let's say you're on a plane all day flying back from like Morocco.
Sure.
And you got off the plane, and you're just like, man, I'm walking through the airport. You know, you see the scroll with the scores. And you saw Bills 27, Vikings 6 at the Vikings.
Yeah, it wasn't even that close.
Would you believe it?
No. It was such a bizarre. I mean, the Vikings came out and fumbled the ball twice in their own territory. They just did not look like they were ready to play in their own building.
But usually these games over four quarters equal themselves out. When Buffalo was up 17-0 on Minnesota, if you told me who I would have bet on straight up to win the game, I would take Minnesota because there's three quarters to get 21 points. They were a 17.5-point favorite. That's one of the bigger regular season lines in history.
Yeah.
And they covered. And not that they covered, they won outright. I think it's one of the biggest since the Redskins, like in the 80s, biggest upsets, regular season upsets.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I'm telling you, there was not a point in the game where the Vikings looked like they were turning it around.
No.
The funny thing is, this is a great stat. For Kirk Cousins threw the ball 55 times.
Right.
They ran the ball six times the entire game, the Vikings. The Bills just bled the clock after they got the lead. You know, what do you take from this game?
Well, I think it's an anomaly game, and I take nothing.
See, I'm really worried if I'm a Vikings fan because they're 1-1-1, and they go to the Rams next. So,
well, they're not sneaking up on anybody this year, the Vikings, as people like the NFL guys like to say. I want to go, but Josh Allen, 15 of 22, a touchdown. He ran the ball 10 times for 39 yards and two touchdowns, which I'm not in favor of him running, even though it's working very well for him.
It is. That's why I'm confident my guy, Nate Peterman. He runs so much, and he did in the preseason. He's actually slowed it down from the preseason. He ran pretty much every other play. He was okay. Kelvin Benjamin, his wide receiver, this is going to sound hard. He's the worst player in the NFL.
You've said that before.
He is so bad, and he's going to kill Josh Allen. If it was, luckily, he was hidden by the lead this game, but he was terrible. Did you see the highlight of Josh Allen straddling a guy? He jumped over a guy like Edwin Moses. He is, tell you, he reminds me, the way he runs, he's the slightly less cam.
I think he's huge. I think he's faster.
I don't know.
I mean, he's not quite
his 40 might be good. I mean, Cam is super quick, though. Cam is like lightning quick. Cam, by the way, he's another guy who had a masterful day. But it was the craziest game. I'm really worried. You got to be worried if you're a Vikings fan, Paul. You can't.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't call this an anomaly because it was at home. And they should have lost to the Packers. So they should be 1-2. And this is arguably the second best team in the conference.
And then another game that was a big one, Saints-Falcons. Both Saints started slow this year. They're 2-1 now. Drew Brees carried them over the goal line a few times. He had a run where he was moving about 1 mile an hour. And he spun off two defenders of Atlanta and scored the touchdown. Drew Brees, 400 yards, three touchdowns, no picks.
Yep.
Alvin Kamara is the feature back. Michael Thomas is going to catch 150 balls. Alvin Kamara had 31 touches in the game at the running back position. 124 rushing yards. Matt Ryan had a fine game. He had five touchdowns and 374 yards. This game could have gone either way. But I think this shows that the Saints still can't play a ton of defense. And that these are two teams that are still contenders. Calvin Ridley, the rookie out of Bama, seven catches, 146, and three touchdowns for the Falcons.
It's almost kind of, I mean, you have to feel so bad. Atlanta, they already lost Keanu Neal and Deion Jones on offense. Then all sorts of guys were getting carted off. Ricardo Allen, their free safety. In my opinion, they're by far and away the best team in that division, and you'll never see it because there's so many injuries now. So Eddie LaVitra out, Takaris McKinley out. I think they're down five starters by the end of the game, and they had this game in control. They are going to be so mad.
And you look at the NFC South, Tampa Bay Bucks are undefeated.
Yeah.
Saints are 2-1. Yeah. Panthers are 2-1, looked really good today. Falcons looked pretty good today, but like you said, you think the injuries are going to wean them out.
Oh, they definitely would have won this game. They were getting guys were leaving the field like at a wrap. At pace. It's tough because they're a very good team, and I think that they're not going to be able to come back.
All right, stick around. We're going to go through all the 1 o'clock games. There was a lot more baggage, injuries, upsets. Talk more about Tiger and the college football coming up. Stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio. Back on NBC Sports Radio for a Sunday night, Paul Pabst, Andrew Perloff. We are the Leisureman. We are brought to you, as always, by Guinness. Get yourself some Guinness at your local pub. Get a pint. I was out in Vermont the other night of McLovin, and I had a burger. It was fantastic. Big Vermont grass-fed burger. And I had a pint of the black stuff, as they call it over there in Dublin.
Nice.
And it was just starting to dip down below 50 degrees. And Guinness in cold weather, I don't know. I like it in warm weather, but Guinness in cold weather, it's just, I had a little chili. I brought you some leftover chili.
Nice. Wait, do they really call it the black stuff?
They call it the black stuff. Give me a pint of the black stuff.
Get out of here. That is so cool.
I know. I learned that. I'm acting like I said it for years. But yeah. When I was in Dublin at the storehouse, which is the brewery, the guys over there, the master brewers, they'll say, hey, bring in some of the black stuff.
I love it, man. That sounds delicious. Fall and Pauly, like a marriage made in heaven.
Chili, Guinness. And don't forget, though, with college football season, get some Guinness at your tailgate. You'll be the star of the tailgate. Get rid of those light, fluffy beers and get something with a real to it. Get a Guinness in you. Perloff, a lot of football today, a lot of weird football today. What else stands out from the 1 o'clock
games? Well, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. There's just no doubt about that. Anyone who said he was going to regress, 24 for 38, 3 touchdowns. But it wasn't just that. They jumped out early. Kareem Hunt had a couple touchdowns. They beat the Niners, who actually came back a little bit. Then Jimmy G got hurt. How tragic is this? Looks like a real serious knee injury.
You know, when I watched the play where Garoppolo got hurt, he was running towards the sidelines, and he got popped right at the end. Some defensive back, which they have the right to do. If the quarterback's going to calmly cruise out of bounds and not dart out of bounds and try to get an extra yard or two, you might get cracked. I heard on radio, I was listening to one of the radio stations today, and they said it was a non-contact injury. He got blasted. At first, I thought he got knocked out.
Unless it happened somewhere else.
No, but I think it's just...
Usually when, you know, like, even when Carson Wentz got hurt last year, usually it's how your foot plants with the knee. That's just such a bummer. There's so much hope coming in for San Francisco. Now C.J. Beathard came in the game, though, our guy from Iowa.
I'm not blaming Garoppolo, but a guy like him does... You got to in or out. Inbounds or out of bounds.
Yeah.
It's a real weird play, and it stuck out. Yeah. I'm going to go back to Niners-Chiefs again. I was watching a lot of Mahomes today. Again, he doesn't make any bad decisions. And because of the power of his arm, other throws that some guys may force in, no offense, but I watched Case Keenum try to guide a few balls in today. He was being completely rushed.
What?
No, I'm saying he doesn't have the arm.
No, that did happen. That wasn't Case's problem.
Well, it's among his problems.
The pick six was just he was getting rushed and he threw a lollipop.
Right, but I was watching Mahomes getting rushed right, and he has enough arm strength to overcompensate for, or should say compensate for it.
Do you see how much he runs around behind the scrimmage? Do you see the one touchdown where he turned right, turned left, turned right? And it's unbelievable. Like, he will not give up on a play, and it's totally working. But, the Mahomes train. So, speaking of Case Keenum, the Broncos who lost today face Mahomes on Monday night next week, Chiefs-Broncos. Do you think this is Mahomes? You know, you think NFL defenses will catch up to him at all?
Well, again, it goes to his
fourth start.
His decision-making and his arm are off to a great start.
Right.
So far, he hasn't shown any weakness in either.
Yeah, like, if you're a defensive coordinator, I'm not sure what you're going for there. It seems like, but it can't last, Paul, because I've seen Andy Reid's Chiefs jump out to 4-0, 9-0.
Every quarterback has a bad week where he just stinks up the place. But I think the thing with Mahomes, it reminds me of something that Kurt Warner said. If you blitz him, Kurt Warner said, I love the blitz. I knew somebody was open.
Yeah.
And Mahomes seems mature enough already that when he gets blitzed, he keeps his eyes downfield.
Interesting.
Couple games, Seahawks 17, Cowboys 6, Cardinals 14, and a lot more. Again, back to the 1 o'clock games. Here's a weird one. Dolphins 28.
Yeah.
Raiders 20. Your Dolphins, Andrew, are 3-0.
Yeah, the Dolphins are the flimsiest 3-0 I've ever seen. They had to use a bunch of trick plays at home to beat the Raiders.
Flimsy.
Oakland has to travel all the way to Miami. I mean, all the West. You take any of the West teams and you bring them East. Like, the Broncos basically couldn't walk and tie their shoes in Baltimore. The Raiders actually played really tough. I think they were desperate. But they were, you know... Adam Gase runs all sorts of reverses. Albert Wilson had a touchdown pass. It was beautiful.
Ryan Tannehill completed 17 to 23 for 3 touchdowns and no picks.
It was the Dolphins are just like, have just sort of somehow found themselves a 3-0. Ryan Tannehill has now won 10 of his last 11 starts. The man is on fire. They're a solid team. Their defense is okay. I feel so bad for John Gruden, but let's face it, they don't need to win this year. They're playing for the future.
What the fan base that's mad at them is in their rearview mirror almost already.
Yeah.
The Oakland fan base, who they hope to bring with them to Vegas, what are you going to do? Start cheering for the Niners? They have them by the you-know-what.
Yeah. It was what a weird game.
Okay, real quick. Yeah. Would you take, right now, if I said Miami makes the playoffs or doesn't make the playoffs?
Makes playoffs.
I say
they were in there 2 years ago, too. They're always 9-7, 10-6.
Eagles 20, Colts 16. Not an exciting game, but Carson Wentz was back. He threw for 25 for 37, 255 and a score. What'd you see there?
So Wentz was running around. He looked good. The Colts are the weirdest team because they're not good, right? Like, we don't know
anybody. Competitive.
They're competitive in every game. They beat the Redskins, who now look very good.
Guess who their leading rusher was today with one carry? Andrew Luck with 33
yards. Yeah, I saw that play. It's funny. He came up on the sideline, and the defensive back like felt mercy on him and didn't blast him. But Luck's taking a lot of hits.
Last play of the game, Eagles are up 20-16, and they need someone to throw the ball 65 yards. Did they by choice, they took Luck out of the game and gave the ball to Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, and then did you see the play? Jacoby Brissett threw it out of the back of the end zone.
It was like 1 yard away from being yes. out of the end zone, but that it almost got tapped back in for a catch.
I know. I actually loved it. I'm like, but Andrew Luck can throw the ball 55 yards in his sleep. What is that about?
He's probably one of the stronger physical quarterbacks yes. of all time, but he can't because they don't want to jack his arm up.
That's why. I didn't even put the connection up.
Oh, yeah, he can make the throw, but they're like, if they let him throw a 70-yard ball and somehow it's damaged, they would
be... Oh, my gosh. For some reason, I was like, I thought maybe his arm was injured. He couldn't throw that far. But Carson Wentz is back. The Eagles, talk about it, like the defending champions. Do you have any sense of how good they are?
No.
None.
They still have talent, but... They haven't closed anybody out. They haven't roughed anybody
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of injuries. Alshon Jeffrey's not back. That's a huge part of it. Jay Ajayi's hurt with the back. So we have no idea. That's a weird division, by the way.
I think I'm getting off the Jacksonville bandwagon. Jaguars lose 9-6 to the Tennessee Titans. I feel bad for anybody who had to watch this game. Probably their family had to.
Well, I was going to say, I watched a lot of Red Zone today, tried to get a good sense of what was going on in the league. I might have seen some plays from this game, but I certainly didn't. They didn't register. I was actually driving here, and then I heard the score. I'm like, wait, the Titans won that game? Blaine Gabbert got hit so hard, like, I don't know if he's ever coming back. I feel bad. He got destroyed. An injured Mariota went in there, and somehow they won that game. What happened to Blake Bortles from last week? Where did he go, Paul?
Yeah, last week he probably had the best game of his career where he was the focal point, and then he comes right back to earth, which is... The NFL week to week, the first 3 weeks, is the storylines are completely different every Monday morning. Next one, New York Giants 27, Houston Texans 22.
Bill O'Brien, see ya.
We said this last week.
Yeah.
Everyone's generally healthy for that team. Will Fuller's a great receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is a great receiver. He's got healthy Deshaun Watson. They scored 22 points.
And Watson actually played really well today. Yeah. You know, the defense didn't do anything. The Giants were allowed to.
You know, I watched a little Watt today. Watt looks like he's full speed.
It was him. He was the only guy who did anything. Yeah, he was great. But he was the only guy who did anything, which is funny because you would think that Watt would get them all fired up. But they really just do not have it together. I feel bad for that fan base because they were excited.
You know, Eli Manning had a real nice game, 25 to 29, 300, 2 touchdowns, no picks. That'll quiet everybody down in New York for a week. That's a classic Eli game where now he has the week off of the New York media.
It's unbelievable because they've been killing him. I've been hearing a lot of that in my car. You're not going to hear the Sam Darnold, Saquon debate anymore.
Saquon, though, is going to touch the ball at least 300 times receiving or running this year. He only carried it 17, which doesn't sound like a lot, but they targeted him a lot in the passing game. He had 5 catches.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But I think that Giants fans are so happy. I think that might be the happiest fan. No, Bills fans are number one, and then Giants fans are number two right now.
Oh, happiest fan base right now.
Yes. It can't be a team like the Chiefs who are just awesome.
Do I take the Browns out of it because it's Thursday night?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty happy. So, wait, the Browns are happier. The Giants, though...
The Browns were starving in the desert, and they got a big jug of water.
Let's take them out. You're right. They're number one. But how do the Bills fans feel now?
You feel a lot better about your top pick. You feel a lot better about letting these other quarterbacks go. And it's such a shocking win.
It's so
weird.
You know,
if you're a Bills fan, you got on the couch today for the away game against Minnesota and said, okay, you know, this is a loss, but let's sit back and watch the game. You're realistic as a sports fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, when the Bears play the Packers, they remember the game one and they almost won it? I walk into the Bears-Packers game thinking, this is probably a loss, but let's see what we can do here.
Exactly. By the way, you got to let me talk about the player that ruined the Bengals' chances against the Panthers and a little more Broncos-Ravens after the break.
All right, that's coming up next and the college football weekend. Stick around, Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
Back on the Leisureman, Perloff and Paps. You know, it's huge NFL Sunday. It was also a big college weekend. And speaking of colleges, I have the professor in the house.
That's right. If you guys are interested, girls too, everybody out there, if you're interested in a career in sports media, go to sacredheart.edu/sports. www, as they say in sports radio, www.sacredheart.edu/sports. Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut, just outside of New York City, has the best sports media program in the country. I'm a professor there. It's a great place. Check it out. Go to grad school 1 year, learn all about the industry, get internships, learn how to be on air, off air, everything. Beautiful new building right down the street from New York City, ESPN, NBC Sports. Go to www.sacredheart.edu/sports today to find out how you could apply to be in the next graduating class of Sacred Heart University. And I'll be there with the little hat on and the robe to give you your diploma.
But actually, in all seriousness, more importantly, Paulie will help you get an internship. Everybody will help you get an internship.
It is. It's so mandatory in this.
That's the key, right?
It is. When you went to Dartmouth, and you didn't you intern for the NFL or?
No. I interned at CNN, but that was a program. But it's interesting. I've done a lot of media jobs, and there's always, hey, I had Professor Papp. Somebody's either interning or working. And, like, that really is the key to it. If anyone asks me what to do in sports journalism, go to a program like this, get an internship, work with the school, and you'll be set.
Michael and Manny, two of my students, are sitting in the room around the corner here at NBC Sports right now. It's cool to walk in and see them every day.
Which one is the Ravens fan?
Manny. Don't mess with him. He plays rugby, and he'll crush you. I would never fight this kid. He's big and strong.
Yeah, I got into him when I was going to get coffee about some of the calls they miss on my guy Case Keenum, and he's like, well, I was just happy to get a win, but the Sacred Heart is the real deal. So wait, a couple NFL games, and we can talk college.
Sure.
Cam Newton is ridiculous. He was so fearless running the ball because Vontaze Burfict wasn't in the game.
Oh,
I think there was probably two people on the entire Bengals defense who outweighed him. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
So he just waltzed in the end zone at will anytime he wanted to. The announcer said something interesting. They said he does not want to hand the ball off in the red zone. And normally that, not to be a selfish
Cam
way,
doesn't?
He does not want to hand the ball off in the red zone. They run RPOs, and he almost always keeps the ball. Now, that sounds selfish, but it's not, because he's the most effective red zone runner on that team by a mile.
Right, because, you know, he knows where he's going. And, like, he trusts himself. I mean, we want to score.
He's 255 pounds and runs very fast. He's a much better weapon than C.J. Anderson. McCaffrey cannot get – he's a very, very good open field runner. It was great today. He can't get in those tough yards in the end zone.
All right, let's go to college football Saturday. It was a weird one. Alabama handled Texas A&M. Georgia, Georgia handled Missouri. Clemson handled Georgia Tech. Ohio State, no problem. Army, Oklahoma, number 5 Oklahoma. Kyler Murray had to battle down to overtime to beat Army. That is a loss for Oklahoma. That is Army's a solid football team. They're not bad at all. They came in this game 2-1. They're very competitive. Their offense is so tricky and tough to compete with because it's hard to prepare for. Stanford, Oregon. Oregon had this game. I mean, had it where all they had to do is run up the clock. I think they should probably have taken a knee. One of their running backs, I think it's Verdell. I think it was third down. He's fighting for extra yardage with about 58 seconds on the clock. And I think Stanford maybe had one timeout left. He's fighting for extra yardage, fumbles, gives the ball to Stanford. They take it to overtime. Stanford wins it in overtime. Oregon had this game.
Literally,
not figuratively.
Such a crushing loss. At home, prime time. You know, I think the Ducks were considered themselves in the mix
for
the championship, and now it's all gone.
Yeah, because they're kind of faceless, the Oregon Ducks right now. They don't have the Mariotas, Masolis.
They have the number one quarterback.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah.
That was his night to shine, and he did have a very good game, but they needed the win to go with his play.
Yeah. No, I think that kind of knocked him out of the Heisman discussion, but he's still the envy of every NFL draft scout. But by the way, Heisman, you know I have a Heisman bet through the Dan Patrick Show?
Jarrett Stidham?
No, it's Dwayne Haskins. Somebody called in.
Yes.
And I'm nervous about it because it seems like it's going to be
the Ohio State quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be a mix of Dwayne Haskins, Will Greer, and Tua. And I don't know if they're going to platoon Tua at all. I might lose to Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins is piling up the numbers. When Ohio State plays Tulane, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. So they play Penn State. Penn State, by the way, such a bizarre. Did you watch any on Friday night? They were in it with Illinois. And then they blew their doors off. Penn State's the weirdest team in the country. College football and NFL, both of them, totally unpredictable right now, Paul. Am I even more unpredictable than usual, or is it just me?
The first 3 weeks of the NFL season has been truly crazy.
But Oklahoma had to go to overtime with Army. I say college is the same way.
Dude, Virginia Tech lost to Old Dominion.
I know.
Old Dominion 6 years ago had no football program.
Yeah, I know. That's all the scores yesterday. Everything is weird. The games are weird. I think, is that parity?
I don't know. But Virginia Tech is the last team I would have thought, because they're so disciplined on defense and they're not like a wild team.
Yeah.
I thought they would have won by, I bet the line was 24 points against Old Dominion. I got to check that one.
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, there's been so many weird games.
I'll bet there's
people
out there who did not know that Old Dominion had a football team until Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. A lot of top 25. Did you see Mississippi State got blown out by Kentucky. How the heck did that happen?
I was all over Mississippi State. I thought Nick Fitzgerald, their quarterback, could go on a run if he everything fell into place.
And he started out great. He's like started out the game on fire, and then it fell. Oklahoma State got killed by Texas Tech. This is a Texas Tech without Patrick Mahomes, without Graham Harrell, without any of their pro. You know, there were none. Baker Mayfield wasn't there, and they kill Oklahoma State. Kentucky, nothing makes sense.
Kentucky football being 4-0.
Yeah,
is like the Miami Dolphins being 3-0.
It is. No, it's way worse.
It's worse.
It's way worse.
Or better?
I don't know. I mean, is Kentucky going to play Indiana in the Final Four in football? Oh. What is going on? Those teams are supposed to play at noon and just go quietly away. Indiana gave Michigan State a tough game, fell short.
Yeah, so it was a fun college football weekend. I love those late night games, man. Wisconsin, Iowa was also a juicy one. Wisconsin, they almost gave that one up.
Yeah, I was following your snug alerts, and honestly, there were so many close games, I got just kind of tired of them. I'm like, you know what? I've had my drama for the day. I'm good.
All right, coming up next, I got a humid take on Tiger Woods, and we're going to get you caught up on all the games. But a lot more football coming up. Stick around. NBC Sports Radio.
NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. Let's bring in the Leisure Man. Pabst and Andrew Perloff. The show starts right now.
Welcome back to Leisureman Hour 2. Perloff and Pabst coming at you on a Sunday night. We are tracking the late games closely, and the barn burner is actually one we would not expect at Arizona. Arizona leading Chicago 14-13. Ugh. Now, the Bears were just about to sort of lose their drive. Trubisky inaccurate. Throws about a 25-yard seam pass down the middle. The Cardinals defender, number 33, I think it was Trey Boston, completely blows up the Bears wide receiver and gets a flag to keep an important drive alive. There are about 8 minutes left.
I thought that was a legal hit. I'm a Bears fan.
Well, okay. Now they're showing in slow-mo. He leads with his helmet a little. He got some helmet in
he
there.
He led with his shoulder. And the wide receiver is dipping his helmet down. He turned. I'm a Bears fan.
Yeah.
And I'm defending the defensive back who turned his shoulder and kind of got into the chops, the lower face mask of the receiver.
But his helmet hit the other guy's helmet. That's the end of the day. I mean, the end of the story. I don't care if his shoulders are there, too.
Well, but the receiver made it happen by dipping his head.
Well, it doesn't matter because the guy stood over him and gloated while he was lying motionless on the ground.
That's what hurts you.
Yeah, which, by the way, is like just a sign of lack of discipline, lack of really caring about winning. Honestly, the Cardinals are a real bad team, I think. And I'm sorry, is that fair to say or is that?
It's weird because 3 years ago I loved them.
When they
had Calais Campbell and remember even Carlos Dansby was a good player.
Yeah, and Honey Badger. Honey Badger was the face of that defense, and he got hurt. And then Larry Fitzgerald's there. As you've always said, it's a shame they can't trade away Larry Fitzgerald to a contender. Seahawks up 24-6 on the Cowboys. Cowboys offense. How would you describe it, Paul?
Lethargic. I don't know if it's Dak Prescott has nobody to throw to, or when he throws the passes, they're not getting to who he has on his team. But nothing's really happening. Inside, you know, they've scored a late touchdown, but this is going to be an ugly one for the Cowboys because they have two young star skill position players who are both healthy, and nothing's happening on offense.
Yeah, well, one bona fide star in Ezekiel Elliott.
Well,
I don't know if Dak
6 weeks ago, Dak Prescott was a star.
A star. But we didn't know. No one came in the season saying, hey, Dak's going to be a Pro Bowler. We didn't know because we knew he didn't have receivers.
Well, but I think a lot of people, well, yes, that's true, that he lost Jason Witten in a weird situation.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant. They'd kill to have him back right now.
He'd
be catching 70 balls.
He was a star. I think that might be because he was a Cowboys quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Rams Chargers gone final, early ending there. Rams beat him 35-23. What do the Rams lack? Is there anything? I feel like they are really just the team right now.
They're deep everywhere. Even at the running back position, their backups are Malcolm Brown and John Woods.
By the way, you're all over that Kelly guy. Malcolm Brown's
John Kelly.
Yeah, and Malcolm Brown has been great when he comes in there. Now, Malcolm Brown's a kid out of Texas. I remember him being really good. So they're deep. Their defense is loaded with stars.
You got Robert Woods, who's a possession receiver out of USC, who's really coming on his own.
Yeah.
He was a player for a couple of years, wide receiver for the Bills. And he's not exciting. He's like an Art Monk type. Where you don't pay to see him catch 10 balls for 100 yards, but it really helps your team. Brandon Cooks is dangerous. Cooper Kupp, by the way, is not a great player yet, and there's a lot of buzz around him coming out of college. He has not hit his stride.
He's pretty good,
but you know what's funny? You know, the stereotypes around guys like Cooper Kupp is that they're sure-handed. He's not. He's not. I honestly think I'm a little disappointed by his career so far.
Wait. Cooper Kupp, is he a third or fourth round pick? He had 62 catches for 869 yards.
62 catches? I had 30.
Fourth round pick? That's probably like one of the greatest seasons. Rookie wide receivers, by the way, you know what the top three draft picks in last year's draft did?
Right.
John Ross, who is awful for the Bengals, Corey Davis, who can't catch a cold for the Titans, and Mike Williams, who was hurt most of last year, who was actually good.
I'm just saying Cooper Kupp is Cooper not Kupp, special.
I totally disagree. I think Cooper Kupp's rookie season was unbelievable. One of the better rookie wide receiver seasons of recent years.
Wow, look at us disagreeing on Cooper Kupp.
Because you thought Cooper Kupp, he's a kid out of Eastern Washington. Yeah, no, Cooper Kupp had a great year. Now, but the problem is Brandon Cooks came in there. Now there's, and Woods, there's just too many guys. But they, you know when a team is going to win the Super Bowl, they start blowing out. You know, they have looked like they're scoring 35, 40, 38. They look really good.
Coming up tonight on NBC Sports, Patriots at Lions. Matt Patricia at 0-2, hosting his old boss, Bill Belichick. A lot of great storylines there. And the number of cutaways of the coaches in this game is going to blow your freaking mind.
Yeah.
All they're going to do is cut away to hat on backwards, big Vermont beard guy and in a sweatshirt, and then Bill Belichick.
Well, Patricia in game two turned his hat back forward.
Forwards?
Yeah, because he was
selling out.
Yeah, and he came closer to the Niners. So I'm going to assume he's going to go forward tonight. Now, the Bill Belichick assistants, I think they'll show the stat. They basically have no prayer against him. They are. Bill O'Brien's 0-5. Eric Mangini was 3-5. Saban was 2-2. Al Groh actually was the only one who did 2-0. Josh McDaniels won his one game. It's tough. But I think Detroit plays him close. Is that crazy?
No. The over-under in this game is 55.5.
Yes, that's huge.
I can't remember the last time I saw a double nickel.
The Patriots have serious, serious injuries on defense. I don't know who they're going to throw to, unless Josh Gordon is out there.
Can anybody use a big nationally televised breakout game more than Matt Stafford? He is just simmering along in his career. He is like what to describe him. He's like a Colorado Rockies guy who hits 320 for his entire career, and his stats are really nice, but he doesn't do anything of note. So Matt Stafford has all the stats in the world for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. and nothing to show for it. He's got the same number of playoff wins as you do.
Hall of Famer?
Well, you have to figure out a way to get him in because he has done nothing that is deserving of the Hall of Fame. That's greatness. Where is his greatness? Piling up yards?
He had some when Calvin Johnson was at his peak.
A couple 11-5 seasons. Yeah, sure.
When Calvin Johnson was at his peak, that Stafford would put up gigantic numbers. He had 5,000 yards in 2011. He threw for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns.
He and Phil Rivers are going to go to the Hall of Fame based on numbers and no postseason success.
Yeah.
And Rivers had more.
Rivers is a lot more successful than Stafford. You know who is going to be a Hall of Famer who you wouldn't think about it? A.J. Green has made the Pro Bowl in 7 out of his first 7 seasons. That's pretty hard to keep. He might be a Hall. I heard him called a Hall of Famer on the broadcast today.
I don't know because, like, remember Andre Johnson, the really good receiver
who
always caught 90 or 100 balls?
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
The second ballot.
He didn't do anything great. He never had moments of greatness. Yeah. He never played in big games.
Never. So he's going to make the Hall of Fame. So is A.J. Green. A.J. Green, at least, has probably won a few more games.
I don't know. Let's open the phones on this. 877. I don't remember our number. 8553. I can't even remember. I'm trying to figure this out. But
yeah.
Can you be in the Hall of Fame if you weren't great, if you just piled up numbers in the passing era?
Well,
because A.J. Green and
he's
Phil
great
Rivers,
in a way.
He's productive.
No, he's great. Well, the only thing his problem, and it happened today, he gets injured all the time. He killed the Bengals today.
Lynn Swann was great because he made big plays on big stages spectacularly. He had no numbers in his career. He averaged like 50 catches a year, 48
catches
a year.
Let's put these out on Twitter, at the Leisureman, and you call an 855-323-4NBC. Is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer? And I guess a lot of that depends on how he does
it. Is he on his way to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Like,
right, is A.J. Green is even a weirder one. I'm telling you, Green's problem is health, but he's so darn productive that I think he has a chance. But you're right, maybe not. I don't know. He was on his way to a huge day, and he basically got hurt again. John Ross, okay, John Ross.
The fast wide
number
receiver
nine
for
pick.
The Bengals.
So there were two, Andy Dalton threw 4 interceptions today. 2 of them were John Ross throws. John Ross gave up on long ball. Andy Dalton, you've met him.
Yeah.
Most mild-mannered guy. Cameron went to him chewing out John Ross on the sideline. I don't know if they can play him.
No.
First of all, he's so short that it's a huge problem. How could you take him number 9 overall?
They fell in love with the speed, which is...
That's great. In the Marcus Godwin or Goodwin, take him in the 3rd round. That's great. But a number 9 overall?
We saw him at the draft. That guy's 5'9" at best and probably 165 pounds. Once he loses his speed, what's he going to do in his career? You know, Devin Hester had size. He was a thick dude. He played defense. John Ross is a wispy, fast dude playing in the NFL, and he doesn't have great hands.
No, he's been,
bad mix.
He's been a real problem. Corey Davis, by the way, I mentioned, he's not much better for Tennessee.
I liked him in college.
I know, but then again, Tennessee's 2-1, so what do we know?
Now,
but,
AJ Green, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, the fact that I have to give his title afterwards, he's not a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of good wide receiver in the passing era.
Okay, tell me some, just name recognition. Tell me some playing guys right now, current wide receivers who you think are pretty much no-brainer headed toward the Hall of Fame.
I would take Julian Edelman over A.J. Green because what he did in games.
Julian Edelman, he's filling in that Tom Brady slot that Wes Welker had. Wes Welker's not a Hall of Famer. He's the same exact player.
But see, I think you get caught up sometimes in yards per catch. What Julian Edelman and what Wes Welker did is never let themselves be covered and move the chains and take hits and help their team win. Is A.J. Green, I don't know.
Yes, A.J. Green, the only time
he
the Bengals—
some stuff.
The Bengals, okay, you know I love Andy Dalton, but there is no team more dependent on one player than the Bengals on A.J. Green. He's their entire, if they're going to win big, he burns you. I mean, he is, what, he had 4 touchdowns last week? Like, he will single-handedly be, but he goes cold. He loses a lot of games for you, too. Now, Edelman has not had a long career, by the way.
No,
it's interesting.
He's had, like, 4 good years.
But I'll tell you a few. Larry Fitzgerald, yes. Antonio Brown, yes. Julio Jones, yes.
To me, Larry Fitzgerald is perfection at the wide receiver position. I know it sounds weird because it's not spectacular.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he's obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer.
But he probably averages like 11.5 yards a catch.
But Julio, I like eyeballing it.
Julio, the problem with Julio Jones, the Atlanta Falcons, the first 3 or 4 years were kind of nondescript. And then he hit his stride. He's had like 4 great years. You know, Calvin Johnson, he's not automatic. Of the former Lions wide receiver, he had 3 great years. He did.
I think Calvin Johnson. Well, I think I do. No, that's me personally. I think Calvin Johnson is probably the best receiver I've ever seen.
It's possible, but yeah, Calvin Johnson had 4 seasons with 80 or more catches.
Oh my gosh! By the way, talking about Julio and Antonio Brown have very much similar careers. Julio, since 2014, has gone for 1,600 yards. 1871, 1409, 1444, and he's already got 233 this year. Antonio Brown's the same way. Both those guys are having this brilliant 6-year window.
Man, I can't believe Calvin Johnson retired at 30 and nobody got him to come back.
I know.
I assumed a winning team would get him out. I thought, remember, same thing happened with Barry Sanders. I know we compare them easily because they both played for the Lions and struggled and didn't play much playoff football. But I always thought that Barry would come out of retirement and play for a good team. It was like principle. They had these weird principles that they said, I'm going to play football until I'm tired. I respect the game too much to play it when I'm not in it. And they're the exact same player.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It is really unbelievable that franchise has done. By the way, two late games really close. The Cardinals are driving down 16-14 to the Chicago Bears.
Is Rosen in?
Josh Rosen
is in for, breaking news.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen is in for the Arizona Cardinals. Must be a Sam Bradford injury.
Probably.
It's week 3 of the season. He's usually injured by now.
Oh, and then the Cowboys, ball up in the air. They're driving down 24-13. Is it an interception? I think Earl Thomas just had an interception. Yes, he did.
Earl
a bobble ball.
You know, Earl Thomas, I like the stones on Earl Thomas. He no-showed twice for practice this week. He's in trouble. He's going to get fined by the team. And then he probably has the game-winning interception. He's by far the best player on that defense without really going to training camp, without getting a contract.
Yeah. Oh, man.
4 bobbles off Bobby Wagner, off...
I think
Cowboys receivers, and it looks like Earl Thomas may have had the closing.
That pretty much should wrap up this game. That's an in-Seattle game, but the Cowboys fans, of course, are going to panic. What a weird, weird Sunday.
Yeah, we'll get you all up to date. I got a humid take on Tiger Woods coming up next, and we'll take your calls as well. Stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Leisureman. I'm Perloff. He's Paps. Looks like we have a new contender in the NFC North, Chicago. Up 16-14, just picked Josh Rosen, who is in for the Cardinals on 4th-and-5 play. We'll see if they can run out the clock. Man, all of a sudden, you got the Bears sitting there at 2-1. You got the Vikings at 1-1-1, the Packers there at 1-1-1, and who's the other team? Oh, the Lions play tonight, who are 0-2 right now. Looks like it's interesting. You know why the Bears are the most interesting team? Because it's also a referendum on another team, the Oakland Raiders, who are 1-3. Everybody is all of a sudden, like, the in crowd of the NFL is interested in Khalil Mack because they like ripping John Gruden. I haven't quite figured out the dynamics, but there's something going on there.
Yeah, I just think Gruden's such a big figure. He's easy to poke.
Yes.
But I think people want him. I think people want him back in the broadcast booth because he was funny and entertaining. I thought he's kind of hokey myself as a broadcaster. I don't think he provided much insight. No offense, but he was definitely entertaining.
Yeah, like
what his job is.
On a bad Monday night game, like, he was perfect. So that's why people are ripping the Khalil Mack trade, because they want him back in.
Also, anytime someone gets $10 million, anyone's...
Yeah, but a coach gets $10 million, that's nothing. Like, a backup two guard in the NBA gets like $18 million.
Okay, anytime you're the highest paid in your profession...
Is he number one? Is he ahead of Belichick?
He's right there, and he hasn't coached in years and years.
Yeah, I see. I think coaches are underpaid because they're the most important thing there.
Real quick, by the way, Bears 16, Cardinals 14. Looks like the Bears are going to run out the clock here. But Josh Rosen, the rookie out of UCLA, came into the game not because of a Sam Bradford injury. Sam Bradford got yanked.
Yeah, that's. I thought it should have happened coming into the week.
That's Mayfield spillover right there. I believe it.
Except that I think the Cardinals were like sort of talking about it a lot. The Browns were not talking about pulling Tyrod. The Cardinals were talking about pulling Bradford. Like, that was out there coming into this week because they were so bad.
Going back to the Browns game the other night, and Tyrod Taylor, before he got injured, was doing nothing. He was hurting his team. They weren't blocking for him. The Jets were all over him, but he was definitely not helping.
They were blocking. He was holding on to the ball. He didn't know where to go with it.
Right.
Like, honestly, that offense kind of stunk under him, and then Baker came in, and the whole team just got like, do you think that can happen where a new guy comes in and there's like a new energy? Because they weren't blocking for Tyrod. It didn't seem like they had a lot of energy, and then he came in and it was awesome.
It was like a script. If you would have scripted it, you would have said, well, we got to do this on Monday night. We got to do this against the other quarterback who was drafted high, Sam Darnold. We talked about it on the Dan Patrick Show that day, and I think I jokingly said, I go, doesn't this line up that, you know, because of injury or incompetence, Tyrod Taylor leaves the game and Baker Mayfield leads him to a big win on national TV? Because Baker Mayfield's too flashy to make his debut 1 o'clock, 2:15 in the afternoon on a Sunday, where only the local teams can see him, local fans can see him.
By the way, is that a bit of an indictment of Hugh Jackson that he didn't start the season with Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield's not young either. He's 23. He was kind of seasoned, had a lot of college football experience.
Okay.
He was clear, and in preseason, he was obviously the better quarterback.
I think coaches make decisions in part of what strategy will keep them employed another year.
Okay.
Because they make so damn much money. And Tyrod Taylor came in. I think a lot of fans around the league, a lot of people around the league are positive about Tyrod Taylor. They're like, hey, he's a solid quarterback. All of a sudden, the Browns got a solid quarterback after all these years, even though they drafted Mayfield. And I'll bet you thought to himself, you know, if I go with Tyrod and he gets us to like 3-3, I've just bought myself another year. Even if we're 3-3, I'd probably get another year. And then I wait for Mayfield until I need him. And then when I go to Mayfield, the expectations for a first-round quarterback are always tempered, and nobody worries that much about the record. They want to see him play well. Yeah. So now, by waiting for Mayfield, it gives him another run in the chamber, another thing as a coach to pull.
Yep.
And if Baker Mayfield leads them to a 4-10 record over the next 14 weeks, that's fine. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Compared to zero, 5 wins is fantastic compared to zero.
Yeah, expectations got to be pretty high. Mayfield looked awesome, by the way. And also, the thing is, it was in preseason, he looked completely comfortable being an NFL quarterback. Did you, you watched a lot of him in college. He looks like he has an NFL arm. Like, there's no doubt about it. He's throwing 20 yards downfield.
It's weird
into a small window.
His arm doesn't match his body. He's a pretty thick dude. He's not wispy. He's definitely not tall. He is 6 feet tall.
You know,
he's a little taller than Russell Wilson, probably the same as Breeze. He moves way better than Breeze. He's much closer to Wilson.
Yeah.
But Russell was more of a scrambler, not a downfield runner in college. Baker would run downfield.
Yeah. Yeah. But he reminds me of all those guys. It reminds me a little of, like, he plays a little like Mahomes, too. Both Texas Tech guys, ironically.
I think Mayfield's smart enough to slide, though. I think he's smart enough to know that I don't have the body to get hit a bunch.
Well, I feel like the tall quarterbacks are the vulnerable ones. Like, Cam takes big shots. Josh Allen's going to take huge shots. I don't think being small, it really is a dangerous thing.
No, and Mayfield only ran the ball 2 times the other night. Josh Allen ran the ball 10 times today for Buffalo.
Yeah, Cam ran it 10 times. Right? Cam's on a running streak right now. With the new rules on the quarterback, watch out for the Panthers because Cam's going to do what he wants.
If you haven't heard, if you have your head somewhere, Tiger Woods won today for the first time since 2013. We'll talk a little bit about it next and take your calls. Stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
Back on the Leisureman, Perloff and Paps on an NFL Sunday, but there's a lot more going on than just football. Tiger Woods wins again. Now, Paul, you've been teasing a human take on Tiger for the whole show. I am dying to know. I can't wait any longer.
Well, this whole season, Tiger Woods, if you notice him after he's been competitive in almost every event he's been in. He made cuts. He's been there on Sunday. He hasn't closed the deal on any of the four majors, but he was relevant in all four majors. And that's the word to me is the key word here. Tiger Woods, again, is a relevant American athlete. Worldwide athlete.
Sure.
And he had been basically irrelevant for 4.5, 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, he had played. He's famous. He makes a lot of money. But relevancy. And even you don't have to necessarily win. I mean, he knows he's one of the great golfers of all time, whether he wins another major or not, whether he catches Jack Nicklaus or not. But to go from, like, 2015, where he reportedly told Nick Faldo that it's over, this isn't going to happen, which means, like, I'm done, you probably start thinking, you know, great career, but I left so much on the table. And I think he looks at it like, again, I'm using this in a sports vernacular, like someone who gets a second lease on life from a sports standpoint. And that's why he was so emotional today. And that's why he's been so enjoyable with the media when he comes off the golf course instead of being that kind of snippy self that he was pre-2011.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing.
And that's what I think it is. He doesn't need to win. We need him to win because we're used to him winning and winning, lapping the field, blah, blah, blah. He wants to be relevant again, where he could wear his red shirt on Sunday and it's not, oh, remember that? Remember when he used to wear that red shirt and it meant something? Remember when that guy was must-see TV? So now, whether he wins or not next year, there is a buzz for the 2019 golf season that only he can generate. No offense, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, they're traditional great golfers. They're traditionally world famous-ish. He is one of the most famous athletes in the history of the world.
Oh, absolutely. So where do you think the major fits in this picture? Like, does it, if he doesn't get a major next year, for example, is people going to go back to being disappointed? Because now the bar is getting higher.
I'm going to compare it to this. We need the major more than he does. Maybe now that's step two. Like, okay, now I know I'm relevant again. I can compete again. My injury is a memory. Remember that really star running back out of Mississippi, Marcus Dupree?
Sure.
He was one of the most highly ranked college high school players of all time. Went to Oklahoma, left after his sophomore year, played in the USFL, racked his knee, was out of the game for 5 years, sitting there playing softball, put on 80 pounds, drinking beer, doing nothing in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Then he got back with the, if you watch the documentary, The Best That Never Was, on 30 for 30, about 5 years after he injured his knee in the USFL, Marcus Dupree came back and played like 11 games for the LA Rams over the course of two seasons. He wasn't that good. He ran for like a couple hundred yards each season, but he played in the NFL. And they interviewed Marcus Dupree, and he said, you know what? I just wanted to put on that NFL uniform again so people could say, you know, he did make it there. He wasn't the guy who never made it. He didn't make it to where he was. That's complete apples and oranges to what Tiger Woods is. But what I'm saying is from the levels of it, Marcus Dupree was at a peak of his sport and then had taken away from him for injury. We don't think of golfers having injuries in the traditional sense because when they're walking around, they've got like white pants on and a polo shirt. They don't look injured.
Well, because usually they aren't. It's golf. It's like what 80-year-olds play. But I just want to make sure I get this right. You just somehow compare Tiger Woods and Marcus Dupree.
Well, I think when you think you've lost something and you get it back to whatever level.
Yeah.
You know, again, I'm apples and oranging the hell out of this, but imagine your house got hit by a tornado and you think it's all gone and you walk back and you find all your pictures.
The thing about him, he won in 2013. He was the leading money winner. He won 5 tournaments, I think.
Yeah.
And back then, we didn't care. Like, they made no dent whatsoever. We were just mad at him for not winning a major. This feels different.
Yeah, because golf has created a system where we only really care about 4 weekends a year.
Yeah.
We call them majors, and the rest of them are nice things, and the golfers make their living off those other 30 weekends. The meat and potatoes golfers who own jets. But Tiger Woods feels like 5 years of grinding and setbacks and everything has been worth it for this day. If you saw that, there's going to be a picture of him or a video you're going to see tonight at SportsCenter or wherever you watch. and he's walking down the 18th, up the 18th fairway, and there's got to be 15,000 people walking behind him. That's something, you know, that's like Tin Cup.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a movie. That doesn't happen in other sports. Like when Tom Brady goes to the line of scrimmage on a drive, the fans don't gather outside the building or outside the stadium and follow behind him. It's such a unique thing to golf.
So cool. Yeah.
He's the only guy who could do it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm also curious about it. Will the next generation care about Tiger? Not like the way we do. I don't know.
I think you have to be young when you see a phenom. And,
yeah.
And, you know, he can't do it again what he did before. He can't kick everybody's ass in a golf tournament. That's what he used to do. He used to beat people like, remember that
one? Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Like 12 strokes in a major?
Like 2000. Yeah, it was crazy. It's interesting. I do think golf, however, we'll get a lot of those numbers back from the Tiger next year. I think this, and this helps. I think they're going to have huge early, you know, the Masters ratings is going to be a monster.
I want to go back to the 1 o'clock games with you. What stands out? Saints win, Chiefs win. No real surprises there. Dolphins
win. Saints was a bit of a, I was sure the Falcons.
You were off the Saints wagon?
Well, no, because in that division, the home team always wins.
Right.
So that was in Atlanta because they're all exactly equal. And except for maybe Atlanta being hurt, they're all incredibly explosive. If I tell you right now, Paul, I'll give you, let's say, $5 bet. Who wins that division? Saints, Panthers, Bucks, who are on fire, or the Atlanta Falcons?
I don't like the Bucks. You talked me out of the Falcons earlier tonight when you told me about all their injuries.
Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah,
Saints defense is not as good as last year.
No, the Saints as a team are not as good. Well, they missed Mark Ingram more than they thought they would.
I do like the way that Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey are clicking. They're similar to Breeze and Alvin Kamara. I'm going to go Saints.
You know, it's interesting. I've seen
this movie. By one game over the Panthers. Yeah.
I've seen this movie with Cam. Keeping Cam healthy is a big deal. Let's see. Cam Newton has run. He ran 10 times today. He has run on the season 28 times in three games. 136 yards.
He averaged 7 carries a game last year. I have that at the top of my head, by the way.
Yeah.
He ran for like, I think he ran 130 times last year.
So he's like 9.5 per game this year.
Yep.
You can't hit the quarterback the same way, although he'll be a runner if he's downfield. He sure looked good today. The Bengals had no answer for him. Now, so Andy Dalton, by the way, can I just say he threw 4 picks, but those were not his fault.
Four were not his fault.
Well, one was a Hail Mary at the end of the game.
Okay, I'll let him go.
Okay, one hit Josh Malone in that went through his hands, hit him in the helmet, and bounced 50 feet up in the air.
Fair enough.
One, John Ross stopped on the route when he shouldn't have. He's terrible. And the last one, it was 3rd and 17, and he threw a 25-yard out that got picked on third, same as a punt. That's in my mind. But Andy Dalton actually played well. I know he threw for 352 yards and a couple TDs. The Bengals aren't bad. I'm actually a little excited about them. Joe Mixon is hurt.
Big. He was an all-purpose back.
Oh, and we haven't even gotten to Le'Veon Bell this morning. Adam Schefter comes out, is on the trade market. They'll never trade him to the Bengals, but that's a team that needs him. Who would trade for Le'Veon Bell? The thing is, he might need a new contract where you trade to him.
I would not trade anything for him because you're trading for a big boatload of cash that you're going to have to pay a running back. But, like, if he was cut, I don't think I'd pick him up.
Okay, but what if you're one piece away from contention?
Okay, what's the contender?
Say,
Patriots got a running back.
They drafted Michelle. Otherwise, they would be really interested in him.
But
first of all, I don't think the Steelers would give him the Patriots. Let's get him out of the AFC. You know, the Eagles have had health problems. They traded for a running back last year.
Jay is hurt, right?
Yeah, Jay Ajayi, he's back. Has it been acting up? They traded for Ajayi last year.
Okay, I could see that. I'll stop you there. That I could see. If they can rent Le'Veon Bell for that tender offer or whatever it is, that franchise tag offer this year, that I could see.
The Packers have never really had an answer running back. Can you imagine him there with Aaron Rodgers? I know I'm speaking purely
as a
fan.
What a weird loss that was today, by the way.
Can you imagine? Yeah. I know. Bizarre. Oh, yeah. To the Redskins? Figure out the Redskins. Let's see. Any other teams that could use a Le'Veon Bell?
I'm going to go back to your Eagles one. I kind of like that one. But they can't do that. They can't let the Eagles get him.
See, I don't think Pittsburgh would give him to Philadelphia.
Right. But you'd have to cut him. You want to get some pick back.
They also could rescind the franchise tag offer, and he could get out there. Yeah, I think they want to trade him. And, you know, the Vikings have had some running back health issues. There are some teams that might invest in him, but do they want to pay him big money?
If I were the Steelers and someone offered me a 4th-round draft pick for Le'Veon Bell, I'd take it.
How about this one? How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Peyton Barber, I believe, is their primary back. Can you imagine if they could keep this up? Adding Le'Veon Bell with Ryan Fitzmagic? I don't know.
That's saucy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I don't even know. Why does he just go to the Steelers and like end this? Like, the Steelers have such a good team, and they feel like they're blowing it.
I just think that Le'Veon Bell, 5 years from now, is going to talk about all the money he didn't make. Real quick, though, the Washington Redskins, Adrian Peterson had 120 yards rushing, 6.3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of the Redskins.
How did they not show up at home against Indianapolis? I think it was at home against Indianapolis last week. What is going on? I'll tell you, both college and pro make no sense this year.
No sense
whatsoever.
I'm so glad I don't bet that much. I didn't say bet. I said that much. All right, stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio. Fun night here on the Leisureman. Paul Papst, Andrew Perloff, and NBC Sports just went down. Got, how would you describe my play at Andrew? Well-rounded?
Not really. I mean,
a little pasta salad.
All Italian, yeah.
Italian night down at the commissary at NBC Sports.
You have a hammer chocolate cake sitting here.
Can't pass up chocolate cake, buddy. It's hard to do. It's really tough.
Yeah, so...
Two meatballs, chicken parm, one piece of broccoli for show, and for show, and then a piece of chocolate cake. That's a nice, hearty meal.
Apparently, we're famous down there, which I... And like, hey, Paul, Andrew, what's going on?
We always get to the commissary first for Football Night America food.
Hey.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Yeah. So... They said something in the end, by the way, of the Chicago-Arizona game that caught my attention, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
All the rookie quarterbacks are in. All the experts coming in the season said, we're probably not going to see most of this class. Because Darnold was the only one to start week one. Jackson played week one. So that obviously has not happened. Do you think that there's any chance the Cardinals don't go to Rosen full-time, any chance that the Browns don't go to Tyrod Taylor?
Well, Rosen, if you didn't see the game, he sure didn't play well in the time he was in for Sam Bradford. He would have thrown a pick six to end the game, but it got called back on offsides. It was a horrendous throw. He didn't do much when he was in there, so you could probably go back to Sam Bradford. I think what it comes down to is there's theory football and then there's regular season football. In theory, you want to hold Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
In May and June, you want to hold Rosen and strategize and go this. Like, well, we'll just – Tyrod Taylor's the bridge quarterback. But when you're losing games and your quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, is like 5-for-14 and then gets concussed, I bet Hugh Jackson was like, oh, God, it saved me having to bench him getting concussed. You don't want anyone getting hurt, but it saved him pulling him in the game.
Absolutely.
Which I would bet he was going to be pulled.
I would hope so. But you never know. Hugh Jackson's a bit unpredictable. He might have kept Tyrod Taylor in there, give him another chance. So early. This is a ridiculous question, but if you were going to do a bit of a redraft, you saw about a half of Baker Mayfield. You've seen now two games of Josh Allen, 2.5 games of Josh Allen. Seen about 8 plays of Josh Rosen. Lamar Jackson, you saw play quarterback in the preseason.
More running than passing in the regular season. I would say I don't know anything more about any of them right now.
I would say I'd take Baker number one.
Well,
I'm going to react more.
Because of two quarters. But what now, if Baker stinks this week, you have to stay with your pick.
I know everyone liked, but the funny thing is, everyone was saying, wow, the Jets sort of got over on the Browns by taking Sam Darnold.
Right.
And look at all of Darnold's flaws have come out in the last 2 weeks that he throws into traffic.
You know, you could do these polls, though, every week, and they would change based on the hottest quarterback. We can't not be reactionary. We try and we can't.
The other thing, too, is you need a body of work. So I was asking you earlier, Patrick Mahomes, they've only had now 4 games to look at him on tape. Now, Deshaun Watson, they got 6 games of tape on him, and he came in this year. He played very well today, but they're 0-3. He's been a different quarterback. Jimmy G, they got 6 games off of. He's been okay this year till he got hurt today. So I think 6 games, defensive coordinators pick you apart. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys – you're right. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So that is a stupid question, but I'm still
– But Mahomes doesn't look good.
Be.
He looks great for Kansas City. Like, it's not like you're saying, oh, you know, Mitch Trubisky is playing okay for the Bears. He's playing okay. You know, Baker Mayfield had two great quarters. Mahomes is working on 12 great quarters.
Yeah, but that's true. But do you think that's got to come down a little bit? He can't play like this all season, can he?
No, because he's not going to throw 40 touchdown passes.
No, I mean, he has 13 touchdowns and no picks. Oh, my gosh. This is just absolutely crazy.
One other topic I want to get into before we break. Green Bay Packers linebacker Clay Matthews said the NFL is getting soft after he was whistled for his 3rd roughing the passer penalty this season. Now, game one, he deserved it. He was way late on that hit on Trubisky. I thought it was quite late.
would it be called last year? Or would it have been iffy?
It was at least reckless by him because his team did not need that hit there.
No, absolutely not.
So he deserves what he gets. The other one, he did not land on Kirk Cousins in any way. He actually helped brace Cousins' fall. It was not a cheap shot. He didn't scoop and plant him. You're allowed to grab a quarterback around the legs. You got to be able to wrap them up. He said, quote, unquote, quote, unfortunately, this league is going in a direction that I think a lot of people like, and I think they're that a lot of people don't like, and I think they're getting soft. The only thing hard about the league is the fines they levy on guys like me who play the game hard. Clay Matthews isn't like a, you know, he didn't play in 1970s. The guy's like 29 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he's not from a different era, but they're not going to stop protecting the quarterback because there's too much money involved. They don't care about the actual health of the players. Yeah. Always remember that. They don't really care about health. They'd prefer them to be healthy.
Yeah.
But quarterback is an anomaly. You can't sell games with no quarterback. Let's say the Colts were playing the Eagles tonight on national TV.
Oh, yeah.
And Carson Wentz or Andrew Luck weren't there. I'm not tuning in.
No.
I may skip it.
Well, Luck got three roughing the penalties in week one. He gets a lot of calls. Let me ask you a question about Clay Matthews, though. He's not a big guy. I mean, you've been hit by him, almost killed, but that's besides the point.
Right.
Do you think something about the way he goes after the quarterback draws a flag? If he was bigger, I don't think he would have to hit them as violently. He wouldn't have to scoop them. I think that's a big part of it. Von Miller, by the way, said something interesting this week. He said that he goes for the ball, not the quarterback. I think Clay Matthews being small and have to really hit the quarterback does not look good.
I do think that what Von Miller said on the Dan Patrick show, he goes, I aim for the ball, not the man, because if I can get the ball, that's way better than a hit. By the way, you know, I don't know if people know this, but when you knock the ball out of the quarterback's hands and you or your teammate recover it, you get credit for a sack, even though you didn't actually tackle the quarterback. So like Von Miller, you know, sacks get you paid. If you get 15 sacks, you're a multimillionaire. So when Von Miller goes for the ball, if they weren't counting that a sack, he may go for the man a little bit more because sacks get you paid.
Totally. But now sacks might get you flagged, so it's a different ballgame. I mean, this has changed the league.
All I know is I'm about to eat two meatballs in the next 90 seconds, and then we got Leisureman approved, not approved on the other side. Stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. Let's bring in the Leisureman. Paul Pabst and Andrew Perloff. The show starts right now.
Back on the Leisureman, Sunday night, NBC Sports Radio. Working on a little chicken parm and meatball, a little turf and turf, Perloff. Paul Pabst, Andrew Perloff here for NBC Sports Radio. Fun game coming up tonight. I hope it is. I think we all hope this one is a shootout. You know, you always want to finish Sunday night. Patriots at Lions could get ugly, but the Patriots defense should let Matt Stafford stay in the game. Fair enough?
I think this one's going to be close. I think a lot of people do. You know, it's Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels have gone against each other, what, a million times?
Right.
The Pats offensive coordinator. So that familiarity should breed a lot of points. The Patriots are just, they're flat out beat up. They have so many serious injuries. They still don't have receivers with Edelman suspended. So they're vulnerable. Lions aren't good. But
is Josh Gordon expected to play?
So I've heard mixed things. Unless something has changed, I think he's supposed to be active. But then I also heard this morning some of the insiders were saying he might not do anything. So actually, I don't know the answer to that question.
I had a weird question asked to me the other day because they said that Josh Gordon, one of the reasons they traded him out of Cleveland was he wasn't in football shape.
Yeah, sorry, he's inactive tonight.
Inactive.
Schefter just tweeted, yeah. That
takes away a lot of the buzz.
Yeah, turn the channel. No, it'll still be a great game. I think you're right. I think it was that football shape issue.
Well, it's weird because a buddy of mine who is a Patriot fan this weekend, he goes, wait, Josh Gordon is not in shape? He looks like a bodybuilder. He looks in perfect shape physically. But was he not ready to go for camp and suffered a hamstring injury?
Oh, man.
That's the report in Cleveland.
It's, you know, but then again, the hamstring injury is code for something else happened. Oh. Hamstring injury is often a fake.
Because you can't show it.
You can't see it. Like, that's what Vontae Davis should have claimed, I have a hamstring injury, instead of retiring at halftime for the Bills. By the way, that might have inspired the Bills to beat the Vikings.
We still haven't had a Vontae Davis interview, the defensive back for the Bills.
Oh, he did. He talked to Dominique Foxworth.
Okay.
And said he had no regrets.
None.
Dominique Foxworth, the former player who's, I think he works for ESPN, does a lot of different things. So he said he had no regrets. All right, let's start Leisureman approved, not approved. I want to start with one that is pretty obvious.
Mm.
This Buffalo Bills win over the Minnesota Vikings 27-6 is the craziest game of the year so far and will not be surpassed during the regular season. Ooh. It is going to go down as the craziest game of 2018 regular season NFL.
It should. It won't be remembered because it wasn't a great game, but from the level of upset, you have to, like, you're going to look back at this game and say the Bills were considered one of the worst teams in the NFL,
yeah,
going against one of the best teams in theory at this point in the season. And the line was, I think, 17.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to approve it, but I don't think it's going to be memorable because there wasn't wild plays in the game.
And it was 1 o'clock, as you mentioned. Not a huge audience. It was kind of spread out. It's the biggest upset like this since December 3rd, 1995.
95.
As you mentioned earlier, the Redskins knocking off the Cowboys. That's just nuts.
I can't imagine anyone betting on the Bills to win this game. I'd like to find one ticket in Vegas.
Like, apparently there's one insider who got, I guess Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network predicted this. I don't know how.
I would like to see, hear audio.
I saw it on Twitter. I know. That's an all-time call.
I sometimes think that guys like you do this. I'm going to say guys like you because you're of that ilk.
Yeah.
Where you take a flyer on a total.
That's a big flyer. Though.
Total underdog, because if the Bills lose, which they're supposed to, no one's going to crush Kyle Brandt. They'll jab him for a little. But the upside of a monstrous call like Bills over Vikings is worth the hit.
Yeah, I guess so. And you're right. No, who's going to blame him for that?
Right.
Still, it's completely crazy.
It's lightly faux.
Yeah, it definitely. But it's also, it's such a wildly, I'll give it for a faux bad pick. That was a good one because no one else did it.
Leisure to prove not approved. I'm going to stay with this game. Vikings fans should be what level of concerned about their team after the loss to the Bills? 5 or less, 6 or higher on a scale of 1 to 10. How concerned should the Vikings fans be?
Oh, man, I'm going to go a push. I'm going to say right at 5.
So
they're 1-1-1. Yeah, before today, I would have said that they looked in good shape to win the division because Aaron Rodgers was gimping around. Now I don't know, and I don't know what's wrong. I'm not panicking, Paul, but I don't see them as the favorite that I did coming into this.
Everybody's
week.
Back. Dalvin Cook was out today, but he's been back.
He can't stay on the field. Yeah, that's what he definitely is awesome. You know. Honestly, I feel like Case Keenum should be in Minnesota and Kirk Cousins should be in Denver. Be something, the magic of that, they had magic last year, right? They were, what, 13-3? They really were rolling. I feel like they're not rolling this year.
All right, one more. I'm going to take an NFC. If I gave you the Rams right now or mm-hmm. the field to make it to the Super Bowl from the mm-hmm. NFC, you would take the Rams. Agree or disagree?
I'm taking the Rams.
You take the Rams over the field.
I have the Rams over the field.
I'm looking at that, and I was just looking at the standings right now. I don't like anybody in the NFC West, even the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, because he just got to do too much. It does feel like the NFC South is going to rough itself up over the next.
They'll beat themselves up. They won't get home field.
Someone will have 11 wins. Someone will have 9 wins. Chicago, no chance. Green Bay, maybe. Minnesota is now looking way more iffy. Lions, no chance. Giants, Cowboys, Redskins, no chance. The Eagles, I would be nervous about the Eagles because they still are the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't see them getting home field over the Rams. That's a thing. If it's in Philly, oh yeah, then watch out. But they have I think the Redskins are much improved. I think the Giants are actually a little better this year. I think they're going to lose some games.
The Redskins have outscored their opponents by 66 points this year.
Yeah.
The only team close, the Bengals at 2-1 have outscored their opponents by 46 points.
What about the Ravens? The Ravens haven't done that?
I'm sorry, Ravens. My bad. I got it wrong. Ravens have scored their points by 46 points.
Yeah, the Ravens look scary. I mean, I don't know. You know, they're going to be in a lot of interesting games. The Ravens, they do dumb things. They are very, very balanced. that is a very good team. There's a couple of interesting Super Bowl picks out there, by the way. You know, Robert Klemko and about 3 other media members guaranteed the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl.
Before the season.
They were like, and Klemko has doubled down like 5 times before the season. He said, the Chiefs are going to win. That's a good call.
That's so white hot.
And there's Florio, our friend Mike Florio, NBC Sports Radio, he picked the Ravens, which looks possible now. Joe Flacco is on fire.
I think sometimes in the preseason, it's tough to pick a team that's not saucy, that's not hot.
Yeah.
Like the Ravens aren't juicy with names.
Right.
And even though they had Mahomes was a. He was off the radar last year because he didn't play. He kind of got put on the shelf.
Yeah, he started the last game, a meaningless game, the last regular season game. But, you know, got to be nervous. I mean, Andy Reid has started out really hot with the Chiefs many, many times since he took over. So, all right, Leisureman approved, not approved. Mm. The Heisman is going to come down to one of these 3 players. Are you ready, Paul? I mentioned them earlier in the show. Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State quarterback. Will Greer, West Virginia quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama quarterback. Mm. Is there anybody else? I feel like the running backs are losing. This is way early, and this is sort of just your gut reaction. Don't even look at the stats. Like, gut, are those three your big early contenders for the Heisman?
Well, again, you need certain things to get voted for the Heisman. You got to be on a very good team, very good stats. You got to play the skill position. You also have to be the new story. So Tagovailoa is still fresh and new because he made his debut in the national title
yes.
game. And he's very recognizable. Everybody saw that game. He could be a default guy. He could win it by default with nice stats. They're probably not going to lose. Will Greer, I think, is one of those guys who will be in the mix until later in the season when West Virginia gives it up, as they usually do. Dwayne Haskins is in the same position. New guy. I don't think there's anyone ever named Dwayne who's ever won the Heisman. And he's piling up the stats for Ohio State. He'll calm down a little bit, but in the Big Ten this year, he's not going to cool off that much because there's not that many good Big Ten defenses, including Michigan. I mean, that's the best one he's going to face. Ed Oliver, of defensive tackle Houston, I don't know how defensive tackle is going to win the Heisman, especially at Houston.
Not this year, no.
Justin Herbert of Oregon lost his chances the other night with the loss, and you can blame it on his running back. Chase McSorley of Penn State, that's an uphill battle.
Unless they beat Ohio State, then he's back in the picture.
Yes, he's recognizable. I like Nick Fitzgerald of Mississippi State last week, and he and his team absolutely crapped the bed. Kyler Murray of Oklahoma was saucy because he can run and pass, and he's very exciting. It looks like a video game out there. They got by Oklahoma, which is kind of the hall pass week for Kyler Murray, the quarterback of Oklahoma. If he keeps piling up the stats, it'll probably be Kyler Murray, Tagovailoa, Will Greer, Dwayne Haskins are your top four. Three of those four will be invited.
Yeah. I don't know if Oklahoma keeps winning, though, after this thing. Like, I don't know how good a team they are. The other thing, too, I think Tua is so spectacular to watch. He's the most unique quarterback. The praise on Saturday, I've already heard him the best college football player ever to play the game. I've heard that with him.
Right.
It's just, and Alabama is so far and away better than everybody else. I'm very curious but he won't get the stats. The Alabama quarterbacks don't get the stats.
Leisureman approved, not approved. People who are under 20 years old will never get Tiger Woods. And I'll bet you they're going, what's all the fuss? People under...
I think you got to go under 30.
Under 30?
Under 20, they could care less. They don't care about... They don't even know who Tom Brady is. They're all about Ninja and...
I'm kidding.
I mean, I've under 20, they're about the NBA stars, and they're about... It's a totally different thing. They have no idea who Tiger Woods is.
I was thinking about this the other day. I'm watching the explosion, and I'm, again, late to the party of esports, video game sports. And my kids had never played video games before. They play games on their computer. But I have a PS3, an old PlayStation mm-hmm. 3 that I have up in Vermont. I fired it up and showed the kids. I gave them like a tennis game. And one of them took Serena Williams. One of them took Maria Sharapova. And they played for about 2 hours this video game. Yeah. And they loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And do you think there'll ever be a day when a dangerous sport like, again, I'm talking 50 years from now or less, a dangerous sport like football can be eliminated from our culture because of danger and you replace it digitally?
No.
Never to that extent?
No. I think esports are going to continue to grow, but I don't think there's always going to be violent sports going back to the Roman gladiators. In fact, I'll bet you sports get more violent in the next 20 years. Yeah, I think people love physical sports.
Huh.
You think they're going away?
Well, money is a big deal, and you could produce a football sports show around with a digital sports show and not have to pay anybody. You know, you could. I don't know if people would tune into that. You could make it look realistic. It sounds very futuristic, but I was thinking I had a long drive from Vermont the other day.
Yeah, that'd be great. I totally see what you're saying. Like, you could do it cheaper, but I don't know. Like, this NFL is going to be gone in a few years. It takes.
No, I don't see that.
Unfortunately for those people, the ratings have gone up. All right, real quick, approve, not approve with Clay Matthews. The NFL is getting soft. Yes or no?
No, because you can't think toughness. This is all money. It all go any decision made by the NFL. Trail it to money.
So it's not a soft or not soft question at all.
It's only about keeping their stars on the field because nobody, unfortunately, tunes in to watch. Clay Matthews is a fun player, exciting. Everyone knows his name, good-looking kid. But if Aaron Rodgers is out, nobody's tuning into a primetime Packer game. Nobody. Except for hardcore Packer fans. Like, if you said, we mentioned this 20 times, but if it were Bears, let's say it was Lions-Packers tonight, and Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers are out, I bet the ratings would be in half nationally.
Oh, yeah.
Cut in half. That's extreme. But that's what happens.
Absolutely, unless you either a home team, fantasy implications, or wagering implications. There's just no reason to do it.
Leisureman approved, not approved. You're going to call the Lions to win outright tonight, right now,
no.
Because of the upside of that pick.
No, I'm not going to. Well, oh, you're right. Okay, Lions beat the Patriots.
Flat out.
Mark that down. We'll bring it back next week.
Yeah, and record that and make it sound like he called it all game. All right, stick around. We're going to talk about the early NFL games. Really weird day. A lot of Buffalo, a lot of Minnesota. Stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.